We,
Sonia,
and Janooni are a couple of pals studying science in undergrad. We are not professionals.
Though every episode is meticulously researched, mistakes do happen.
If you notice that anything,
and we mean anything,
we state is inaccurate, please let us know.
Your comments, suggestions, and queries are important in furthering our personal and audience's understanding of science.
Thanks for being a part of this discussion.
We appreciate you.
We really do.
Bop bop. Beep it up bop.
Welcome back.
You're bigger, bros.
Did we even do an intro last episode? Just like saying our names?
I don't know, but I'm Janooni.
I'm Sonia.
That's quite impressive. We got a question about why are we drinking out of beakers?
Oh, that's a great question, Janooni.
Sonia, would you like to answer that?
You bet I do. These are beakers.
There is a drink inside of it.
Yeah, normally, you don't drink out of beakers. In normal lab settings, you don't drink out of them, you don't sniff them, you don't huff that's not good.
You
waft? Yep. Yeah, anyways, we're drinking out of these. Today's beverage is the same as last time. What do you have again?
Salted caramel cold brew, or salted caramel cream, something salted caramel.
I have a matcha green tea latte with oat milk.
Matcha green tea, ice cream, matcha, anything really.
It's good. It's like sweet. It has an earthy quality to it.
I like it.
That's matcha.
That's matcha. Mine is okay. It's not that sweet.
Okay.
I'm a 5 sugar person, so.
Yeah, you are.
I run on sugar.
And I have sugar with my coffee.
Or my coffee with my sugar. Okay.
Today's episode, I'm really excited about it.
Okay.
And
I'm ready to learn.
That's awesome, and I hope you are too. And that's because today we're talking about science education, not specifically in classroom settings, but like alternative ways that the media represents science.
Yeah.
And we want to dive into that a little bit, talk about like how effective we think it is, and just some research basically supporting whether or not it is or is not effective.
I just want to start off with, like, what's the last time you learned about science that wasn't from, like, one of your courses?
I watch a lot of podcasts. One of my favorite, like, I have, like, a lot of them are science-based. Like, I love Star Talk. Like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's an astrophysicist. He disseminates, like, he just talks about science in a way that's, like, really open. Not open, but, like, it's easy to understand from, like, a broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if you don't have a science background, highly recommend it. Also recommend this, Janooni.
Oh.
The Beaker Bros.
Watch this. And
yeah.
It's your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom. Your grandma. Your dog. Your cat.
Yeah.
Bird.
Even if you don't want to watch it, just turn down the volume and, like, let it loop. That way we'll still get the
background noise.
But yeah. But yeah, that's with me. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
What about you? To be honest, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't search for science information.
Yeah.
Unless it's in a course. I need to learn more a bit about it. Like, a bit more.
I feel like that's with a lot of, like, the general population in general. Like, the average individual, like, if you don't have any, like, rooted connection to science, like, why would you go out of your way?
But, like...
Like, obviously, like, there's need and there's, like, it's important to, like, go out of your way to learn about it. But
science is everywhere.
It's everywhere. But just the, like... Why would you sit around, like, there's other things that you can do with your time sometimes. Like, if you're, depending on, like, what your situation is, like, it would make more sense to do something else rather than sit down and listen to a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think, like, I'm looking from the aspect of, like, social media, right?
Yeah.
Like, my Explore page on, like, Instagram or whatever, or my For You page on TikTok, it's just filled with, like, videos of dogs or, like,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's, like, unless you're... Like, it's not, like, how am I supposed to say, like, it's, science information is just not, like, as popular as, like, videos of random things and stuff like that on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be, like, quite effective, right? If
yeah.
it was on social media.
Yeah.
But, like, looking at it, like, from that aspect, also, like, social media would be a good way to what's it called, teach people about science education, not in the traditional form. Because, there's actually, a study. There's an article written by...
what a segue.
Let me tell you. There was an article written by Christine Greenhow and Kathy Lewin, basically called Social Media and Education, Reconceptualizing the Boundaries of Formal and Informal Learning.
That's the title?
Yeah.
That's very convoluted, but okay.
Go check it out if you don't believe me.
I'll take your word for it. If people don't have the time to go check it out, why don't you go through it for us?
I will. Basically, they argued that social media has the potential to bridge formal and informal learning through the digital form, social media that we know of. And it actually was quite cool because it showed that young people more they adopt the role of consumers rather than participants when doing social media. So they're not really the ones educating, right? Mm-hmm. But more of the ones that are receiving the information.
Okay, so then who would be the population or the group that's giving...
participating?
Yeah.
Well, people like Bill Nye, you know?
Okay,
scientists, people, experts in the field, right?
Uh-huh.
That are giving this information.
Mm-hmm.
We can also look at the different aspect of how you can see politicians as people giving science education,
mm-hmm.
right? In times, especially with the pandemic, they're the ones that are telling, this is what's currently happening, and all stuff like that.
Which is ridiculous. Leave the, are you saying it from a good perspective or a bad perspective?
I'm saying in a very neutral, perspective, but also for going into that, politicians, unless you have...
if you have the... Sorry to cut you off.
No.
Oh, continue. I almost... Please, I encourage you. This is your part.
I'm not speaking again. Basically, unless you have a really good science super person as your advisor or whatever, shut up.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way I could
mm-hmm.
say it, right? Because there's a lot of miscommunication and
mm-hmm.
misconceptions that are prevalent occurring right now, especially with COVID, right?
Yeah.
Just this is what it is and that's this and that, but it's confusing and not in a time where a lot of people are confused and kind of afraid,
mm-hmm.
we don't know who to look to and whatnot. But of course, when a politician is telling you this, you're going to believe everything they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are not saying what they should be saying.
Yeah, they're sort of going off of their own
mm-hmm.
biases rather than things that are backed by evidence.
Without naming names, but
you know.
But yeah, so consumers, I mean, participants could honestly be politicians, and it could be educators, could be doctors, nurses, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go on TikTok and there are doctors and there are nurses and there are health professionals that are doing the right thing by educating youth about science education and just various things, things that you can't really have a discussion with in a general you can't easily unless you're Googling it yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're not learning it. And you don't know to ask that question because you don't know that's a problem.
Yeah. Ooh, that's interesting, yeah.
I mean, I think that's it's very interesting because I feel young people, it makes sense why we're the consumers,
mm-hmm.
right? We're not experts.
Yeah.
Let's be real. We don't know. We have all...
We don't have the experience.
Yeah.
We can't be the experts, right? Right now.
Right now.
Without the experience, you can't, not saying that we got a lot of potential, but a lot of us aren't there yet.
Just wait for us.
Just wait.
We're coming.
Give us, 15 years.
We're coming.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be on TikTok.
Yeah.
Doing this depending.
I don't have TikTok. So, no, we're not going to do
that. This is
better. But yeah, okay, I am trying to see what I was trying to say.
Okay, so there's one argument basically that research on social media and education suggests that integrating social media and teaching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It actually facilitates inquiry, proper communication, collaboration, and all that fun stuff.
From integrating it specifically in science education or broad?
Science education.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, it's just and also has it facilitates more conversation. Too.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, there's only so many perspectives that you can get from, your classmates. If you're in elementary school, for example, little Timmy and little Billy probably gonna have very similar opinions.
Yeah.
Right?
You're, told what is.
Yeah.
What it is. But, science should be always being, questioning what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just how that is how we know what we know today, by always constantly questioning the information that's presented.
That's one thing, I firmly believe. Like, a lot of people say, or I've heard that, like, you should never question science. Because, like, whatever. But, like, you should be questioning science all the time. What you shouldn't be doing is denying it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Science, not to, like, get off topic, but science is based on, like, peer-reviewed evidence. Like there's a process behind it that makes it, what's the word? Like,
somewhat valid?
Yeah, valid and, like, respectable, I guess you could say.
Adds credibility.
That's the word, yeah. And when you just outright deny, like...
The evidence.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong... Like, if that evidence is wrong, like, there's nothing wrong in being wrong, right? Like, for example, our understanding of the way light behaves has been the same for, like, 500 years. Mm-hmm. And that was considered to be, like the main argument until Einstein rolled around in the early 1900s and was like, wait, there's a photoelectric effect. Wait, there's...
Wait, dude.
Wait, there's general relativity, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, he basically created this paradigm shift in our knowledge. That wasn't because, like, he was denying the science, but he was questioning about, like, how accurate it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I feel like questioning it and denying it are very two different things.
Yeah.
When it comes to science. It's just like, okay, this is cool. But what about this? Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of like, no, this is wrong.
It's adding to our understanding
and
not diminishing like the voices of other people who contributed.
Yeah.
Contribute to it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get that. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. So what else did you...
Sorry.
I cut you off there while I'm changing.
No. What else was I at? Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's like an article written by, like, or a study, at least, by the University of Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
I was thinking of Wizard of Oz. I was like,
or Kansas.
Arkansas? No.
Basically, it was looking at how, like, social media helps students, like, learn scientific argumentation better. And the general idea of it was, like, it showed students who, like, took part in a social media program actually learned better than, like, people who didn't.
What do you mean by learn better? Because that's kind of subjective, is it not? Was it from, like, test marks?
Oh, no. I think it was just, like, actually did, like, tests. And they did it in areas, in areas of sharing scientific claims and, like, discussing and demonstrating knowledge of different scientific stuff. I'm blind, sorry. But yeah, so the treatment group was definitely, there's a significant difference between the treatment group and, like, the control group being, like, the ones who weren't in the social media program.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's also just, it's kind of cool to see how, like, social media does play a part in knowledge. Like, you would think, like, get off your phone.
Yeah.
You're not learning. You're not paying attention.
Like, don't get me wrong. It, like, vastly contributes to, like, what's it called? Like, decreasing attention spans in the classroom and... all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When it's used ineffectively, though, when it's used effectively, like the way that they talk about in this study, it just shows the potential that social media has to educate the folks, the kiddos, the youngins.
Were you guys back?
The pipsqueaks.
I think that's all you got.
Yeah, okay.
But what have you found on, like, science education?
So, like, there's a couple things that I found. Couple stories that I want to talk about. One being, this one happened a few years ago.
Okay.
And, basically there's this rapper named B.O.B. I don't know if it's Bob or B.O.B. I saw his name, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Apparently
he's not a big deal. He's somebody that people know.
Do you know that song, like, Airplanes?
Oh, he did that?
I think so. I might be very wrong. It might be somebody else, like, his name.
I know, it's Jordan Sparks. Airplane.
Oh, Airplane.
He looked up Airplane.
Bob? B-O-B, right?
With Haley Williams?
Yeah.
I thought that was... It just makes me a little disappointed.
I have a wish right now.
Wish right now. I'm sorry. No, that's funny. But basically, so a few years ago, in like 2016, that seems like so long ago, but it's not. There was a feud that happened on the Twitter between him and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
On the Twitter. Yes.
And he basically, like, started, like, dissing Neil deGrasse Tyson about, like, stuff that, like, or like the science community in general, like the way like the science community is propagating lies.
Oh,
and
right.
Neil deGrasse Tyson goes, "No, bro, that's not what's happening." No. Like, no, like that was
enough.
Yeah, he said it far more eloquently than I did.
Did he have like any evidence backing it up, or were you just saying like,
It was just like
no,
a blatant
wrong.
Claim that wasn't. Oh, do you mean Bob or B.O.B.? Whatever his name is,
Bob.
I think it's B.O.B. I'm pretty sure it's not Bob.
Yeah, like. Did he have any claims for
no.
what he was arguing?
Started this whole feud, and basically, then B.O.B., I'm gonna say Bob, because I think it's funny. Bob did a rap.
He did a rap?
He did a rap dissing Neil deGrasse Tyson and talking about how the Earth is flat. Called Flatline.
It's called Flatline.
Yeah, and I was a little weird about, like, talking about it, because it's technically, right now, by me saying it's giving him, like, a platform to, like, share the music.
Oh, whoops.
Don't play it. You get copyright.
Whoops.
But yeah, he did this stupid song called Flatline. But like, even though we know it's stupid, like the Earth is not flat. Both claim it's not. But yeah, even though like we know and like there's research supporting it and blah blah blah, this dude was like, nope. And from him publishing that song, it literally got like, I think, well over 1 million views on like SoundCloud and other platforms.
Yeah.
And it ended up like building up a community of people that like support the flat Earth theory. So that just like brings up question about like the responsibility that people with platforms have when talking about like science.
Yeah. You know, I think it's funny because like the amount of time you probably spent on like making this like rap or whatever, you could have spent it researching like some
and
facts, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's funny too because then Neil deGrasse Tyson's nephew ended up doing a diss track to his diss track, and it was very like wordy and witty. Mm-hmm. It was very nerdy. Like, it sounded like it wasn't great.
Like
none
a school
of them
project.
It, I mean, like it was better than a school
okay.
project,
okay.
but like. The dude can rap, but
that's not his profession.
Yeah, but the narrative that he was spreading in the song was very
the message
important.
And like the meme.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
But that just brought up the question, like, in recent years I've personally noticed that like, or not even in recent years, just like music throughout the decades has been played a really important role in sharing narratives about stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's in, like, using music as a platform to, like, educate people about science, I think, like, in recent years has become, like, a really prominent, like, platform. I don't know, like, can you think of any songs?
I'm trying to think of a lot of songs, but as you know, I listen to the radio, so.
Well, if you listen to the radio, you'll probably know this individual, Billie Eilish.
Oh!
There's, in her last album, she did a song, that, like, a lot of her songs were just talking about things going on in the world, and one of them that she did was about climate change. What's that song where like hell, like
hell,
like the earth is on fire and like
Billie Eilish, earth
burning. It's about the forest fires in California, like something like that. Look that up.
On fire?
No. Look up like
Lucifer.
Yeah.
All the good girls go to hell.
Yeah, that song. It's about climate change. It's about the California forest fires.
I see.
Like, she was able to take a message about the stuff going on in the world, talk about, like, science in a way that's meaningful and engaging.
We stand that.
That's awesome. And then you have that stupid shit that Bob did.
Freaking Bob.
Yeah, but that just shows, like, music serves a really important platform in getting messages out there.
That's so cool. Well, seeing that, like, it's not obvious, right? It's
not
all in your face, but, like, when it is done, it's, like, it's a very powerful message.
Yeah, it's, like, subliminal messaging. It creates, like, you hear it, you don't really recognize it, so you look it up, you question it, you realize the meaning behind it, and you look more into it. And she was, like, she ended up doing this whole campaign about, like, environmental awareness and stuff, especially stuff going on in California, and it ended up being like a really effective campaign in terms of like educating and getting young people aware about the stuff that's going on with the climate
and
the
especially
forest fires.
Thinking about her fans and her followers are like young children
on
me
Me.
Small girl.
Small little.
Small boy.
Small boy. Small whoever.
Individual.
Yeah. It's crazy thinking about, like, just, like, the amazing work that she's doing.
Yeah.
And just, like, yeah, she could have just made music, but she made music that, like, educates.
And there's a lot of artists doing that right now, not just specifically with science education, but for example, mental health awareness. That, what was that song, the, you know music better than I do, the 1-800, the one about suicide prevention, the one that's titled after that suicide prevention hotline. 1-800-STEAMERS certified. That was not what I was thinking. You know what I'm talking about, though?
No, I don't.
Oh. Are you able to look at all your laptops gonna die? Oh, no.
1-800-what?
The suicide...
God junk?
No. The suicide prevention song.
Logic?
Oh, yeah, it's Logic.
1-800-273-8255.
Yeah, it's a suicide prevention hotline. It's just interesting, like, the way that,
that's
like,
amazing.
Young performers
mm-hmm.
are using this platform to share.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm just looking at the lyrics, and it's just, like, of course, just talking about, like, you know, suicide and just, like, how they don't want to be alive anymore, but that's, like, it's amazing that they're bringing it, like, raising awareness for that, you know, and just, like, it, like, having people... in those places, people that you look up to,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, like, telling you, like, hey, you're not alone.
There's stuff out there.
Yeah. Education does not have to be in a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be only on social media. It's through music. Like, I don't know what other forms, but...
There's actually a couple other forms
I
want to talk about. I'm offended. You hit my iPad. But, not to, like, diminish that conversation.
No,
change gears. Another way that people are integrating science into different, like, forms of media is through fashion.
Really?
So here's, like, here's an interesting example. So there is this fashion designer who, let me backtrack for a sec. So in Vancouver, British Columbia, they hold this Vancouver Kids Fashion Week. Where, like, young, like, children stuff, they get to, like, learn about. It's adorable. I saw the pictures, like, it was just kids, like, learning about, like, the industry and stuff like that.
Like a little toddler walking
just
around.
Strutting around in, like, a little tutu.
Oh,
I'm a model. But, so basically this year, the previous year, this Fashion Week, programmers, designers, retailers, all these families, all these people worked with researchers from the Michelle Kobar, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this name wrong, Michelle Kobar Lab, from the University of British Columbia, UBC, and they're working with her. They were able to showcase or represent science in fashion. So, like, in weird little ways, because this was a kids' fashion show, they sort of integrated little aspects of, like, science and, like, working in a lab into, like, fashion and things that they see all the time. Because oftentimes, like, when you're a kid, right, you don't really know, like, what a lab is. Like, right, you, like, do you, like...
I'm trying to think. As a child, they know.
You know what fashion and clothes are, because you see it all the time, but you
don't know
what, like, lab techniques and stuff like that. You don't know what they are. So, there's certain designers worked with the Michelle Kobar Lab, and I'm losing my train of thought, but basically developed this line of clothing that, like, looked at lab techniques and different types of bacteria. One way that they looked at it was that lab specifically focuses on human genetics and epidemiology. And using animal models, and oftentimes,
like organoids and stuff like that.
Yeah. And oftentimes, like, it's not really represented in the media, like what it means to, like, study human genetics, epidemiology, that kind of stuff, like that specific strain of science.
Yeah.
So it was depicted in these, like, forms of, like, different attires, different mediums of clothing, and it got young kids to learn about, like, what it means to work in a lab and what science is.
That's so cool.
From, like, a very unorthodox perspective.
I think it's amazing because, like,
these kids are probably going to, like, you know, think, I want to be a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is cool. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, it's kind of,
like, cool. In a way, science is an art. And when you're able to, like, ooh, bridge, like, from the different examples that we've already given today, like, talking about music, talking about social media, like, there's different ways to represent science that isn't just academic, that isn't just, like, unattainable or illegible, I guess, to, like, the average population. And some of the most effective ways to get it across are through industries that people are very, very familiar with, such as fashion. For example, there's brands like Patagonia, Arc'teryx. These are outdoor wilderness companies that focus a lot on producing ethically sourced clothing and aspects of climate change and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's actually cool. Like, it's, like, when you go, like, who's just... Who's responsible for, like, all the science education? Like, it's cool. Like, not only, like, scientists in delivering this information, but, like, companies, big corporations and stuff.
Yeah, like, outside of a typical classroom setting, I think it's fair to say, based on, like, a lot of the stuff that we spoke about today, that science education isn't necessarily coming from, like, academic sources. Yeah. It's coming from trends. It's coming from brands. Mm, it's coming from big-name people.
Yeah.
Like, the different music performers. Yeah. Bob, I'm joking.
No, God. He needs to be canceled.
We love you, Bob.
Cancel culture. God, no. We do not support the cancel culture here. No. But, yeah, just interesting to, like, see how, like, the responsibility, like, goes back to the idea of corporate social responsibility, which is basically the, if I will read the
exact, notes.
The exact definition here, because it's more eloquent than I could word it myself, but it says corporate social responsibility is basically a self-regulating business model that helps a company to be socially accountable to itself, its stakeholders, and the public. And because science education, like we said, is largely facilitated through these, like, social media and these different brands, it's so important that companies are able, or not able to, that companies integrate the voices of scientists in creating and manufacturing and, like, marketing their products.
I see.
Because if it's not done that way, then you have these, like, uneducated people spreading narratives and views of science that, quite frankly, are stupid and wrong.
Yeah. That kind of leads to things that, you know, could be easily avoided, you know? Like, if you just kind of, like, if they were educated appropriately.
It's not hard to just, you don't need to talk all the time. Like, if you don't know,
shut up.
Just shut up.
Shut up.
Like, if you're not qualified to talk.
Yeah. Educate. Shut up and educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or just listen.
Yeah.
No one ever learned anything from talking. It's from listening to people.
I was gonna be like, wait, okay.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, by talking and, like, sharing the stuff that you know. Like,
you're
talking
not
is sharing
anything new.
Yeah. Talking is sharing the stuff you already know. Yeah. To learn, you gotta listen to other people.
That's very true. Like, today, I learned from you. Yeah. You learned from me. And we did that.
We're a big happy. What's that song, the Barney one?
I love you. You love me.
That one? Yeah, but I thought it was different. I'm realizing the lyrics.
We're a great big
family with the punch in the stomach and a bullet through his head.
Sorry, kids. That Barney's dead. Sorry. I don't think that's the song. We're okay. That's how I remember it ending.
Fun little tidbit. When I was younger, I used to be terrified of Barney. And, like, any, person in... Or just, like, mascots in general hated them.
I loved Barney. And Teletubbies.
Don't get me wrong. Love them on, like, the TV. But in person. Like, Barney taught me my ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. Teletubbies, I don't think they taught me anything, but it was fun to watch.
They were good to look at.
Yeah, the little, Dipsy.
Lala.
Poe. Tumbleweed. I don't know.
I used to go around and just being like, la la, just going around the house, la la, la la.
Oh. Excuse me.
But
that's cool.
It's good to know that, like, everyone has, like, science is not just for scientists.
No, it's, that's so true. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
And for it to be for everyone, it's important that scientists not only, like, use different platforms to share their research that is accessible to everybody,
mm-hmm.
but also,
make it engaging.
Make it engaging. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's today's episode.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice way to end it off.
Educate yourself, shut up, and listen.
Yeah, and if we said anything wrong, let us know, and we'll listen.
Yeah.
And we'll...
I like that.
Yeah.
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 That...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention before we go. So our theme song, as you've heard, that's what it currently is right now. We need another one. If anyone has any suggestions, ideas,
You want to produce something?
If you're a SoundCloud artist that isn't Bob, hit us up.
We'll pay you in coffee.
Yeah.
One cup of coffee, to be specific.
Yeah, and,
That's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.